Good morning, Mr. Buffett, Mr. Munger. My name is Jerry McLaughlin. I'm from San Mateo, California. First, I just want to thank you for all the effort you put into the annual reports, the letters, and these conversations. I've learned a lot, and they're terrific, which is why I'm here from half a country away. You know, you've said that great companies are those that have an economic moat. And I understand that phrase to mean a sustainable competitive advantage. Do businesses begin their lives with sustainable competitive advantages, or must that be developed over a very long time? And then, what are the fundamental bases upon which you've seen companies successfully develop sustainable competitive advantages? Of those, which do you think is the most enduring and which is the least?
Well, sometimes they can develop it very quickly. I mean, I would say that Microsoft, in terms of the operating system, you know, that was a relatively quick development. But that was an industry that was exploding and things were changing very fast. On the other hand, if you go back to See's Candy, which started in 1921, you know, there is no way you could build a sustainable competitive advantage, at least that would be recognizable in times measured shorter than decades. I mean, you opened up one shop at a time and nobody had heard of you originally, and then a few people did. And boxed chocolates were something that you know, people may have bought once or twice a year for holiday occasions or whatsoever. So you weren't going to embed yourself in the minds of Californians in 1 or 2 or 5 years just because you were turning out, you know, an outstanding box of chocolates. So it depends. It depends on the way the industry itself is developing. You know, Walmart has done a fabulous job, in an incredible job, in quite a short period of time. But even they, you know, they took it in the small towns, and they progressed along and refined their techniques as they went. But I would say that there could be things in new industries. I would say with NetJets, we have a sustainable competitive advantage, and that's an industry that was only originated in 1986, you know, when Rich Santulli got the idea, and it was in its total infancy for a good many years after that. But what he has built is building and fortifying is that sustainable competitive advantage. But it depends very much on the industry you're in. And I mean, Coca-Cola, 1886, Jacobs Pharmacy, Atlanta, Georgia, you know, John Pemberton came up with a product. Did he have a sustainable competitive advantage that day? If he did, he blew it because he sold the place for $2,000 to Hayes and Candler. He did, and it took decades, thousands of competitors over that time. And, you know, but they were painting one barn at a time and designing one Saturday Evening Post ad at a time and all of that. And Pebbles, you know, around the world, in World War II, General Eisenhower went to Mr. Woodruff and he said, I want a Coke within the arm's length of every American serviceman. He said, I want something to remind him of home. And so he built a lot of bottling plants for Coke around the world. And, you know, that was a huge impetus, but that was what, 60 years or so after the product was invented. So it takes a long time in certain kinds of products, but I could see certain areas of the world where a huge competitive advantage built in a very short period of time. I would say that probably in terms of animated feature-length films, for example, Walt Disney did that, and you know, after Snow White and a few more, it took him a while till he could cash in on it. But it became Disney and nobody else in that field for quite a while, and fairly quickly. Charlie?
Yeah, there are a lot of different models that create a sustainable competitive advantage. And there are also some models of where you can lose it very fast. You just ask Arthur Andersen. That was a very good name in America not very long ago. And I think it would be harder to lose the good name of Wrigley's gum than the good name of Arthur Andersen. I think there's some perfectly remarkable competitive advantages that people have gotten over time. And the great trouble with the investment process is that they're so damned obvious that the stocks sell at very high prices.
Snickers has been the number one candy bar for probably 30 or 40 years now. Now,
yeah, in Russia, it turns out everybody likes Snickers.
Yeah. What? How do you really knock it off? You know, I mean, we make candy. We would love to displace Snickers, but it's hard to think of ways to knock them from the number one spot. I mean, my guess is that they'll be number one in, you know, 10 years from now in candy bars. And the list doesn't change much in that field because if you think about the nature of how you make that choice as to what candy bar, if you were chewing spearmint chewing gum 5 years ago and you buy a pack of some chewing gum today, it's likely to be spearmint. I mean, there's things that you experiment a lot with, and there are things that you don't fool around with once you're happy. And you know, you can understand that if you observe your own habits and people's habits around you. But there's other... Usually if something can gain competitive advantage very quickly, you have to worry about them losing it quickly, too. I mean, when an industry is in flux... there are a lot of people that think they're the survivors or the ones that are going to prosper, that where it turns out otherwise.